Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the NFC Central here with the Chicago Bears. And there's a lot of upheaval. There's a lot of change with this team. And it gives me a lot of pause, given the fact that it's Justin Fields. Given the fact that it's a young quarterback, it gives me some pause in terms of what their development arc is going to be like. So let's dive into it a little bit here. Some of the changes: out Matt Nagy, out Ryan Pace, in Matt Eberflus, in Ryan Poles from Kansas City, Eberflus to DC in Indy, in Luke Getsy, offensive coordinator from Green Bay. Interesting there. That LaFleur coaching tree spreading all over the place here, going forward here. So some a lot of changes would be the again, that's if we have a theme for this show, it's changes. And when you look at some of the when you look at the offensive line as well, big changes here in terms of Jason Peters is gone, or is not. Was there last year, played 76% of their snaps, had a 78 PFF passing grade, pass blocking grade, so that was good. You know, they also lost Jermaine Fetti, who had a positive passing grade as well. He only played 7 games. Elijah Wilkerson played a handful of games for them as well, only 70 snaps, but played 11% of their snaps. He was a moderate passing game, pass blocker as well. So there's a lot of change going on with this team in terms of the offensive line. They also lost James Daniels, who had a positive pass blocking grade as well as from the guard position, right? So it's just over and over and over again that they've lost some of these guys. They've lost at the receiver position as well with Allen Robinson. They lost Jimmy Graham. Tariq Cohen's injury stuff is super unfortunate. Just a ton of these questions. Right, it's just a lot in terms of what we might expect here going forward. And this was a team that also didn't have a first round pick. Right, this didn't have a first round pick that they had spent it. The old coaching staff in the old front office had spent it on Justin Fields, which is understandable. But they don't spend anything to address the offense until the 71st pick with Valus Jones out of Tennessee, right? And then they bring in a couple of day three linemen, Tristan Ebner from Baylor as well. And they make some additions at offensive tackle and two interior offensive linemen. So a lot of that stuff, but they managed to use a comp pick on a punter, right? So, a lot here going on in terms of changes for them, and not a ton to say that they're trying to make life easier for Justin Fields. That's the thing I keep coming back to, is like, you look at Justin Fields, you have some questions. Is he perfect? No. Holds on the ball way too long. But you look at some of the positives for him. From a clean pocket, second best PFF grade, 78.4. That's behind Mac Jones, who was up over 80. Again, the longest time to throw in a clean pocket at 2.61. Just takes forever to get the ball out of his hands. Having no one to throw to does not make that situation better. Best deep ball, big time throw rate of the quarterbacks, 34.8. Of the 5 guys that qualified this year, that didn't include Trey Lance, but it included Davis Mills. So Davis Mills, Lawrence, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields is that grading scheme that we're looking at. So I don't know if we could take a ton from what they did last year in terms of like their splits and everything with Green Bay. I don't know with Green Bay even if there's that much predictability. I will say Green Bay played at a really slow pace last year, about middle of the pack in terms of a lot of your splits in terms of dropbacks, in terms of design pass rate and the like, but played at a terribly slow pace. So we'll see if that has something to change. You know, if maybe they can bring that up. Chicago, by way of reference, played at the 21st slowest pace in terms of seconds per play, but 2.5 seconds faster than Green Bay. So Green Bay truly taking it down, and Rodgers takes it way, way down on the play clock. If you watch, like, you're familiar with that stuff. So that's the big thing. Maybe you can get some changes there. They ran a ton of stuff for tight ends last year. Again, not a ton for wide receivers. They got virtually no wide receiver production compared to what they ran. So they ran the 19th most wide receiver routes per dropback and had like the 26th most yards per dropback. So again, that's a negative split. The Allen Robinson situation just was bad. And that's, I think, really the big takeaway. That's really the big thing there for them. So, yeah, I mean, that's overall the question is what's this offensive situation look like, especially vis-a-vis supporting Justin Fields. That's my big concern here. Justin Fields, by way of reference, was expected for 15.2 points per game and only performed at 10.9. So that's well below expectation. Not great there. It's not great in terms of the, you know, the passing touchdowns was basically six under. The yards was a couple hundred yards under. So it's a relatively across the board type of difference there. So not great there. When you look at some of the running back stuff for a guy like David Montgomery, for example, I think he's one that you could look at and say, hey, maybe the situation isn't great. You know, we talked about this, like they're a bottom 10 team in terms of expected points per running backs, but it's so consolidated in him that it almost doesn't matter. He caught 42 balls last year above expectation in the passing game. He was below expectation in the rushing game. Basically across the board, he ran 289 routes. That was basically, that's in 13 games. In 16 games, Khalil Herbert ran 141. You know, so you're looking at, you're looking at a big difference there in terms of it is really, really consolidating into a Montgomery situation. He was expected for 9 points per game last year and scored it. Ninth in terms of expected points per game. He's scored at 14th in terms of actual points per game. Overperformed in yards per route run, for example, as well. So overall, 22.2 routes per game compared to 8 for both. For Damian Williams, it was 8.1 and 8.8 for Khalil Herbert. So really taking a chunk there. 8th most routes per game at the position. 14th most targets per game at the position, and both him and Herbert broke tackles. 5.9 for Montgomery broke a tackle once every 5.9 carries, and once every 5.7 carries for Herbert. That is 35th and 32nd, so about the middle of the position respectively for the two of them. Again, the loss of Allen Robinson I do think matters. When you look at what's interesting to me is when you look at Chicago and you say, all right, how does someone overperform? I do think Darnell Mooney's really interesting. He was expected for 1,206 yards last year. He only had 1,055. He was under in terms of 8 receptions, under in terms of 1.5 points per game against expectation. So you start looking and, hey, some of these things could start coming back a little bit. Yeah, you get the target share is probably going to go up as well. From it's 20.3%, you would expect that to go up. He was expected at 18 points. He was expected at 18th in terms of points per game last year. So as a rookie, like, was really dipped in and did a admirable job. He performed 88th. In terms of expected yards per route run, but underperformed that. Again, I think some of that is the quarterback situation. 82nd percentile in terms of the percentage of his routes he was actually targeted on, that was 21.9%. So as a rookie, full-on usage, right, 98th percentile in terms of route participation, and 79th percentile in terms of his yards per route run, 82nd percentile in terms of the percentages of his routes he was actually targeted on. So really optimistic signs. Again, he was 81st percentile in terms of expected points per route run. So it was, despite it not being a great situation, it was a pretty good situation in terms of ability for Mooney to produce. Listen, you get a little of that Green Bay sprinkling in terms of what their offense could offer, and all of a sudden you could see a situation where he gets a lot better. Again, he's expected right in the mid wide receiver two range, and he underperforms on a per game basis, but I think could absolutely overperform that this year. So targets overall 134, 7.9 per game. Again, if that, and you take and just look at Allen Robinson, who had 5.5 per game, there's room that we don't necessarily do the vacated targets, but there's not a ton of, if this were to be a pass funnel, it could certainly be towards Mooney, and it might not even be a good offense, but he could see 150 plus targets. That was a big performance last year for him. So that's my my big thing for Mooney. That was overall a pretty good success track for him in 2021. And excited about where he could. And again, that was the second season. I think I said earlier that it was his rookie season. It was his second season. He had 631 receiving yards in his rookie season, which was 2020. So the other one, I think, like when you look at it, it's Komet. He's the big one. And I've seen some people pushing him. I'm a little dubious of him because he hasn't shown some of what I would consider like your breakout indicators. For example, when you look at him, like he's 69th percentile in terms of yards per route run. That's okay. 74th percentile in terms of percentage of his routes he's actually targeted on. Like that's good, but you see elite, you don't see guys that have elite ceilings do that. You see guys that have elite ceilings have elite metrics at the tight end position. So he underperformed expectation in terms of expected points per route run and expected yards per route run as well. So, you know, the situation not great. He was expected for 14, expected for tight end 14 in terms of expected points per game, and performed at tight end 23 in points per game. So again, that's not right. Some of that situation, some of it I think is probably him too. And then he had, in terms of route participation, 75.5% of his of dropbacks he ran a route on, and it was 17.8% of his routes he was actually targeted on. So people are more optimistic, I think, probably on him than I am. People will point to the big touchdown, the lack of the touchdown numbers, right? He had 60 catches, 612 receiving yards, and zero touchdowns. He was only expected for 4.4. I say only, like that is a big downtick number. But even if he performs at, even if he goes at six, right, that's not a huge difference-making performance, right? It's right around the starter line, which is fine. Like, that's good. But let's be a little cautious here in terms of expecting a huge breakout from him, because frankly, his metrics don't point to it. And I'm not sure the situation gets a ton better where all of a sudden he's catching 70 balls. You know, we're going 70 for 810. I'm not sure I see that in his range of outcomes either there. So I think that's an unlikely event. So that's really the thing for him. He's fine, but this is like a little bit sexier version of Logan Thomas from a couple of years ago. So that's the overall takeaway. Your RDPs and your underdog data, So Fields right now, 14th in terms of RDP. He is 16th in terms of underdog. So projected to miss here. He would enter next year with two misses on his resume. You're starting to get right around the uh-oh line of the quarterback position there. So we'll see. David Montgomery, 21st in RDP, 20th in terms of underdog. I like him to beat that if he is healthy, right? And that's really the thing. Like, if these guys stay healthy, they'll aggregate, and he basically would aggregate, I think, a running back one finish if he's healthy. But that goes for a dozen running backs of like in the same range as him. Mooney is interesting at 32.5 in terms of real draft position, 29th in terms of underdog. That's one that because the interesting thing is if the team doesn't, if the team doesn't like Justin Fields, if the team is like, hey, we're just not in on Justin Fields, and what ends up happening is they say, okay, we need to readdress the position in 2023. The Bears will have a ton of cap space. They won't have the early picks, and maybe what their situation would be is, hey, we'll spend it on cap space, right? I think that could be the thing you would look for going forward in terms of, you know, where they are at. So that's probably the big thing holding Mooney back. But listen, if he produces like a wide receiver two type finish, they might bring somebody in, but I'm not sure that person's going to be clearly better than him over the next, you know, 24 months, because he could be – like Mooney could be a really surprising guy from where he came from pedigree-wise. Notably, I mean, this is just a crime against rookie quarterbacks, but you have Byron Pringle and Velus Jones at 95 and 99 respectively in underdog as the competition for – wide receiver two, just not great. Equanimeous St. Brown way down there as well. So Cole Kmet is 12 in terms of RDP, 14th in terms of underdog. I'll say this. I have a surprising amount of Velus Jones. It's not that much. It's maybe like 20% just because I was like, I have to take a day two wide receiver in the fourth round of a rookie draft. Like I kind of have to do that. I can't convince myself not to. And that's really the deal with that. But listen, he could find himself in line for some targets. And I think that would be something that I would I'm open to, because someone's going to have to catch the ball. So and if he fails earlier on, if we get some we might get our like 200 route indicators early with a guy like Velus Jones. I kind of like that. I could say, hey, listen, you know, this is kind of the arc that he's on, and we kind of have an idea and can take a peek there and see what his development track is and either move on from him or potentially flip him. But that is one of the plays that I made here. Again, I'm probably out-ish on Kmet. Like, he's fine at his cost, but like I don't think anyone's paying up for him to trade for him and acquire him, but I'm not really drafting him where he's at. Like, again, he's one of the types that I think drafting in that range is probably overall not super worth the squeeze. I'd rather go a different position than either pay. Give me someone that has elite ceiling potential, or just give me one of the guys that sort of is 500 and, you know, 50 and 500 and five, and we'll just go from there and figure that out, because it's not a huge, huge difference. So that's really my thoughts there on the Chicago Bears. Not a ton, because there's so much change. We don't really know what direction they're going to go in. So be looking forward to that. But again, I think big season for Justin Fields, and they haven't really given him a ton to help him. So not great overall in terms of development for the quarterback. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.